We on? Now then, Ray Winston here. The real one. Close enough. Doing a new podcast with me mate Tony. Soprano, that is.
Oh, how you doing?
Talking all the big stuff. Birds, scraps, films.
And of course, men's mental health. With studio guests such as arch feminist and top broad Deborah Francis White and disgraced scumbag comedian Dapper Laughs.
Something for everyone. We're trying to be better men, ain't we, Tone?
That's right. We're bad boys done good.
Available on YouTube and to download on all good audio platforms. Go on, get off your hands, you dopey c***.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favorite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello, welcome to the show once again. It was a good one last week, wasn't it? Enjoy that one. It was good to do, and you know, I didn't want to let people down. I don't want to think they're getting shortchanged. You still had a decent episode, I hope. I know it was me getting interviewed by somebody else, but you know, I just wanted it. I thought it would be a good idea. And you know, I love Mishka, and hopefully you enjoyed that. So yes, thank you for once again tuning in. So with that in mind, regular listeners and new listeners, we have to do the admin bit first. So this is what we're doing at the top. We get this bit out of the way and then we get on with the show. So you can become a patron. In fact, please become a patron. You go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/membrane podcast. Bung us a few quid and then you get to still have the best podcast in the world in your ears. So do that for us. That'd be lovely. Just a couple of quid, you won't notice, you know. It's not like we're not making money out of this. We just want to keep the podcast going. That's literally all it is. And what you get in return, you get to see video clips of the interviews that we've done. You get exclusive, like I say, exclusive views of those. You get the episodes first before everybody else. There'll be some other things coming up in the future that we're going to be doing for you, patrons. So, yeah, and the response to that has been brilliant. Thanks to all the lovely people that dropped us messages on all of the platforms. Really appreciate that. Thank you so much. So become a patron. And just get on the firm. Become a producer if you want. You can send us ideas, guests that you think that we think would be great for this. They don't have to be famous. They don't have to be well known. They could be all sorts of people. You know, someone if they do, you know, a job that's to do with mental health or things like that, and you think they'd be a great chat, then get involved. Send them the name. We can have a chat with them. Also, check out our stylish Insane in the Membrane t-shirts. Do that for us as well. That's at buythatmerch.co.uk. Also, we've got Insane in the Membrane coffee beans from Wogan Coffee in Bristol. If you use the exclusive Membrane, listen to promo code Membrane, that's one word, for 10% off of our podcast packs. There you go. What's not to love about that? And it's good coffee as well. We've had a bash on that. It's really nice. So get hold of that. And it says Membrane and all that on the front. It's got our logo on the front of it. Yeah, come on. What's not to love? Go and buy it and then send us a photo and we'll put it up on all the socials and share the love. That's what we'll do. But you can find all of these on our link tree. The link to that is on all of our socials, so you'll see it in the bio. All you've got to do is click on that link and then that will take you to everything that we do. It's all out in front of you, all on a big list. It's right there. So what's not to love? We just take one click and you see everything that we're doing. Merch, radio shows, podcasts, everything is up there. So do that for us, that'd be great. Anyway, this week's guest, I've been wanting to get him on, I don't know, I think since the podcast began. I've known him like 20 years since I started in comedy. He's such a top dude and he's been on everything. You know, he's had a great career and he's very vocal about his own struggles with mental health, which we talk about in this episode. I remember listening to his episode of Comedian's Comedian with Stu Goldsmith. It was so enlightening, not just about his mental health and how he's been, what, you know, his ups and downs and that, but also about how he comedy, how he deals with comedy, how he comes up with his ideas and things like that. It's really interesting, and we get into that as well on this episode. It's really insightful for any new comedians or budding comedians. This is a really good one to listen to, because Terry really lays it out and just says, you know, he's very honest. He says so many interesting things that I think you'll find really helpful. It's a really good episode. Terry Alderton is our guest this week, one of the finest comedians this country has ever produced, and just a damn fine man. Terry's also got a podcast out called Bear With Me. It's available everywhere, Amazon Music. It's on all podcast platforms. We've got a clip of it coming up now.
Now, for those viewers who are still lost on Bear here, so let me explain one more time.
Yes.
Bear is a man, okay?
Correct.
Who is dressed in a bear costume, yes, you see, who is then got dressed into a man costume, yeah, and then got changed one more time into another bear costume.
I'm Spitzing in here.
And let's also take into account,
oh, yeah,
he stands at over 7 feet tall.
7 foot two.
He does look like pretty much like a real bear.
I do, yes.
And he does a pretty good impersonation of a bear. Give him a blast, Bear. Go on. There's been that round of applause and quite a few people screaming.
So there you go. So anyway, let's get on with it. Coming up in a minute is Terry Alderton.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
Insane in the membrane.
It's nice to see you, Terry.
And you, Rich Wilson.
Last time I saw you, this is how we do it, by the way. There's no big introduction, just off, just chatting. Right.
Yeah, I like that.
Last time I saw you, I think it was the last time I saw you, we were walking towards each other at Tottenham Court Road tube station. You were on the phone. I was walking towards Christmas.
That the last time I saw you?
I think it might be the last time I saw you. Maybe we've worked together since, but that's the one that sticks in my mind. Because
I've seen you since. I worked with, who did I work with the other night? What's his name? Is it Gareth? Gareth someone. And I said, if you, and he does a bit about you in his act, actually.
Oh, Garrett Millerick.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's lovely. He was very funny.
Love him.
Talk about different offstage to onstage.
Oh, I know.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
just goes on stage and becomes this like monster. And I'm like, well, not a monster. I mean, that's horrible. But it's like watching an actor acting out a play, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I said to him, you, him, and Keith Farnham on the same bill would be quite weird, because you all kind of morph as one.
just like the three, well, it's just one stage of man, isn't it? We're just,
yes,
just different degrees of height. But when I saw you at Tottenham Court Road, you didn't even come off the phone. We just walked towards each other. You were chatting away, and you got me in a headlock, and then you kept me in a headlock until you finished your call.
Well, that's because I wanted to keep you close.
No, I loved it.
Didn't want you going nowhere, did I?
but it's things like that. This is why I love people like you, because you just don't know what's going to happen when I'm around you. You don't know what's going to happen, and I love that. People should be more like that. Because
I don't know what's going to happen.
No, exactly. Right. That's me.
I've lived my life with everything happening at once. So yeah, I'll spend the whole world thinking, oh, no, that's happening now, is it? So now I've got to change. I've got to change tack. So I'm good at adapting.
No, I like that. Yeah, but I think you managed to make your way through the world. It still manages to be who you are and all the other versions of yourself.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yeah, lots of Terrys.
It's like you got your main head is like the sun, and then there's a load of other Terry planets like just pirouetting around it.
I like that. That's good. That's very nice. I'll take that. Go ahead, Rich Wilson.
There you go. Have it. That'll look good on you. Man, make that look good on a T-shirt. Your head. And then all these other little heads.
The little Terrys go around.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, I've got a thing in my act, actually. I don't know if you've seen me do that. When I have a bit where I stop the show and I go, let's find out what Terry we got tonight. And then I play this little tune. It goes, what Terry did we get tonight? What Terry have we got tonight? Oh, yeah. It's just stupid.
Yeah, I've not seen that.
No, but when I break it down and actually then tell someone about it, I'm thinking I've got to get a proper act. I've got to get some jokes.
No, but I remember when I saw you on the boat years ago, and I remember you telling me, you went, I've got this new bit, and it's like these two cats, these two, like the angel and the devil inside me. Yeah. And then you turn around to the thing, and when you explained it, I was like, all right, well, that sounds interesting. Uh-huh. And then when I saw it, and ever since, everyone's like, it's fucking great. It's such a nice bit. It was nice to see you right at the beginning when you first started doing it to what it became. Like, people fucking loved that.
Yeah. Well, it was we're doing it now, aren't we?
This is it, mate. Yeah.
I love it. It's like you haven't seen each other. We're just chatting. All right, yeah. So I'll talk to you like you've never seen me. But yes, basically what happened was, have I ever told you this story?
No.
Right, okay, what happened was, I was in Dubai long, 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 long time ago, right? And everything had gone wonky in the world, Twin Towers and all that, and I'd kind of lost my mind a little bit. I'd had this sort of rise to what I got to telly and all that, and then it was all kind of just, it was all just taken away. Like, all of a sudden, everyone had changed up top, and everyone who came in went, nah, not him.
Yeah, right.
So I kind of went back to doing comedy, and I ended up in doing these gigs in Dubai with Ben Norris. And I happened to do this routine. Well, not even a routine. It was just a flippant observation about call to prayer. And I started doing all this stuff in Dubai. And after the show, it went proper wonky. The people who ran the gig went, we're in big trouble here. You're going to have to, you're going to have to write letters and you might get deported and all this stuff.
Oh, shit.
Right, okay. So anyway, I didn't, and I managed to do the gig the next night. But the next night, I was in this sort of world of darkness and not even knowing what I was anymore, be it a comedian or what kind of comic I was or anything. See, I come back doing comedy after 4 or 5 years with the same old crap I was doing before, so it didn't really make any sense. And I used to do this, I used to have one routine in my act where I would say I was in New York, right, and I went up to the bar and I said to the guy, can I have a medium white wine? And he went, we only do the one size, right? That actually did happen, right? The gag was, I'd turn round, and then I'd have these two voices, and one would go, you must go back, show him the bulldog spirit, right? That's all it was. And then I'd go back and finish the routine. But after what had happened, I just carried on. I turned around and just said, what kind of world we living in? There's no freedom of speech here. Let's not even talk about the slavery that goes on in this country because we're not allowed to. So I was doing it all to the wall. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then I turned around and then acted like nothing had happened, and I continued to do this, kept doing it, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of it, I come off stage, and Ben Norris come up to me and he went, what was that you're doing? And I went, oh, I said, I shouldn't have done it. It's very unprofessional of me. And he went, no, man. He said, you mustn't stop doing whatever you're doing there. But just don't be so bitter with it. And this was about 2005. And then I went to Edinburgh in 2006. And I took a load of old stuff, and then I cobbled together with all that turning around business. That's when I'd learned how to wield it, if that makes sense.
And that was,
and then it grew into what it is now, which is all these years on.
I fucking love it, and everyone does. What? So you're talking about, this is really interesting, actually, because when you see people that
you know, they're star, you know, the whole industry's talking like that. They're around you, you know, they're sending cars for you. You know, you are, yeah. everyone's, oh, Terry.
Yeah.
And then one day you get, it starts, gone. To, you feel it, oh, it goes, yeah, and it goes like, oh, can you make your own way in? And that's how you know it's starting.
Yeah.
When the cars stop. And then when, and it must be hard when the whole industry goes, yeah, we're doing this now. When you were in it, that must fuck you up on so many different levels.
It totally does, because you built up this whole thing, you know, being this flavour, and this was like probably from about 90, God, how old am I? 96, 7, no, a bit earlier than that maybe. I started 91 on the circuit, didn't I? And then I probably, yeah, it's probably about 94, this sort of into 95, this sort of rise was happening. So that sort of really took hold by about 99 in Edinburgh, and I'd had this, you know, everything was just coming together as it does. And then by, like you say, about 2001, you know, I was getting on the train again. You know, I was getting on my bike, in fact. In fact, I don't think I had any wheels on my bike. But you know what? The way I always see this business is, for me, it's always been this, right? It's like I'm constantly doing up this car, right? Yeah. And I eventually, you know, get it going. And by that time, what you're talking about, I'd actually got it off the drive and driven it down the road a bit, and then it broke down again. I had to push it all the way back to the driveway and start working on it all over again, you know?
Yeah.
It's probably not a really good sort of analogy, but that's kind of how I feel. It's kind of like that knockdown, get back up again, isn't it?
Yeah,
we're constantly having to go. But of course, then you get to my age and nearly your age. You're a lot younger than me now, I think.
Not much. I'm 50.
Oh, right. Well, are you 50 now?
Yeah, turn 50.
Oh, right. No, you're not. Yeah. You're a year behind me. I thought you were much younger than that.
No.
Well, you get to, of course, this age and you go, right, okay, I'm going to make my own way now. I mean, some people did that a lot younger than I did, but there's no fear at 50, is there? You don't care. And that's why I'm doing my podcast now, because I wanted to do that this year. I wanted to get up and do something off my own back, because, you know, when you do get to that point of that falling down and you want to pick up again, we're now in a different world to what we were in 1999. We're now in a world of, you know, this, you know, what we're doing here and screens and of course, all the usual YouTubes and TikToks and all this kind of thing. But I didn't want to get on that. You know, my 15-year-old's constantly on the way. The problem is now, of course, I'm not even a dinosaur. I'm past extinction. I'm oil, right? So I've been burnt in a car and everything. I've gone, right? I'm a gas. I don't even know what I am. I'm not even carbon anymore. But the point being is, you know, I didn't want to get into that noise of you know, of all this sort of world, you know. You know what I'm saying? And just going, look, I'm a desperate 50-year-old man trying to be funny on a young platform. And then I thought, actually, why don't I do the podcast? I had done a Radio 4 show. I did three series of my Radio 4 show, which was potty. But some of the characters in that, I thought, oh, hold on, I should build stories with them. So that's how, you know, Ed and the Bear came along, and now we have Bear with me. So that's, and I'm enjoying that. And I wanted to get up this year. And so I set up this little studio that I'm in as well, because I wanted to get up and get on with it. Whereas, you know, if I've got to put it all together, then I'll do it tomorrow when I procrastinate, you know. Whereas all here, and now I'm getting on with it and I'm enjoying myself. And the point was, I just wanted to do it for me to say I've got a podcast, but it's actually getting, people are listening to it, believe it or not.
Mate.
So it's good. Basically, I'm doing what I want to do.
And that's lovely. And what I love about you is that you have a strength. You do have a strength, because you've been very vocal about your dealings with your own mental health and all that. You've been very open about that. But at the same time, you have a strength, because you're aware of that, but you don't let it get to you. You always manage to pull yourself back up again, which is inspirational. You've also managed to bridge the gap, because you're like, you know, you played football, you're into your football, but then at the same time, there's a surreal edge to you. It's like you're not, like, you're kind of everything. You're all sorts of things. Like,
I'll tell you what I am. I'm packaged, I was actually thinking about this not that long ago, about my act, actually. You know, my act sums up what you're saying here. It's packaged. You know, I start with a song, I end with a song, and I do a few songs in the middle. It's packaged like an old traditional 70s cabaret act. But instead of doing my wife, you know, that kind of thing, and joke. You know, yeah. It goes off in wonky places. There's always this little twist to it.
Yeah.
And you're right. I do. I always see myself as a bit of a geezer nerd, if you like. You know, I'm actually, yeah. You know, I'm a bit blokey and a bit football, but actually I'm a bit of a nerdy weirdo. So I'm square pegs and round holes, all in pegs and square ones and whatever that is. But full of cliche as well. But yeah, I'm happy. The thing is, I'm happy with who I am now. Whereas before, I think I was not fighting it and not knowing who I was. I knew I always know I'm a bit different because everyone seems to tell me. But instead of fighting it and trying to fit in, you know, I just suddenly realised that you need to just go, like I was just saying earlier on, without repeating myself, you know, I just go with my own flow now. Because you try and jump in the water with everyone else, don't you? And you're all paddling.
Yeah.
And then what I thought was, I'm getting out here. And everyone goes, look, he's getting out. He's getting out. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. Yeah. So I'm on the bank now, creating my own little boat.
But that's it. I was the same. I think it comes with age. You sort of get to a point, because you, like you say, throughout your life, you're always like, oh, everyone's telling me I should fit in, so I'm going to try and fit in. All right, but then there's a little voice in your head going, yeah, but that's not you. You're not these people. You're not that. Why, no. You know, you should be. I wish I knew that at an earlier age, that being myself and the things I'm into and the things that make me happy were fine. And I wish I'd embraced them earlier instead of trying to fit in.
What's the old cliche? The youth is wasted on the youth, isn't it?
Youth is wasted
on the young or something. But yes, it's a complete thing. I totally agree with you that I wish I'd had this head. If I'd had this head when I was 25, I'd be massive. Because I'd be full of arrogance as well then. So no, I don't mean that in a... Actually, maybe I'll take that back. I don't want to be full of arrogance, but as you know as well as I do, everyone who are friends of ours are big names.
Mm.
They are driven by them. You know, their whole life is them. You know what I'm on about.
I do.
It's not having a go at them,
nah.
But they're married to them. They're 100% them. And that's why when some people go, how have they made it? Well, I'll tell you why, because they believed and made everyone else believe it. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was all about that focus.
Yeah, and actually, I will rewind that. I don't want to say that I'd rather be arrogant. That's complete nonsense. I think I'd rather just be just try and be nice and get there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But some people, you've seen it, and it's quite funny as well when you like, for example, if you're wrapped up and it's like the winter and you're wrapped up in your bubble hat and your scarf, and you see someone who's the people perceive as famous, but we know them, and then you go, all right, and they go, and they do that thing, not realizing it's Rich Wilson, and you go, and then you go, it's me, it's Rich, or you go, it's me, it's Tel, and they go, oh, sorry, like that, and you go, oh, but that's how you really are with punters, is it?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
They're just on that path. They don't even see behind them. They don't even see. Like, well, I've seen it up close. I've been around people that started to become famous, and you can watch them change, and you're like, you know, and you're like, you haven't listened to a word I've just said. And
like, over your shoulder.
Yeah, because they're just on that path of, I want to be a star. I want to be there. And they get all these ideas. They go, oh, I've come up with this. I've come up with that. You go, no. You were talking to, that's from what's name? You were talking to them. That's where you've got that from. And they're like, oh, yeah, shit. They just don't see anything else. It's just what they're just this. Like before he got his cock out, Louis C.K. said a brilliant thing about Dane Cook. And he said, because they had a bit of an argument about Dane nicking a joke from Louis. And he said, look, he goes, you're like a space rocket. He goes, you're just shooting forward and everything's getting caught up in your wake. He goes, and you're just gathering all these things up. He goes, you don't really know where they come from. You're just gathering it all up. And so they're just so focused on being stars. They don't see anything else. So when you bump into them, it takes them a minute and they go, oh, shit, yeah, sorry, Rich. Because they're so used to people coming up and can I have an autograph? Can I have this? Can I have that? They just get lost in the noise.
I do get that. I do get that to a degree of. But then again, some people are really quite rude as well, which I've also noticed. But you know, when I was in EastEnders,
you
know, that was loopy.
Yeah, man.
Loopy. That's loopy.
How did you deal with it?
Well, I didn't mind it because it wasn't me. They came up to see Terry from EastEnders. I wasn't really. I'd just go, "Oh, hi, how you doing?" and get on with it. You know, it was. But you could always tell if someone was going to approach me whether they knew me as the comedian or if they were EastEnders fans. You could always tell which difference people were going to come up. Very rarely in comedy, but yeah, it's a weird thing, and you kind of, I suppose, because you know, people who are into that. I don't watch it. I never did watch it. I mean, I watched it, I think, when I was about 10.
Mm.
No, I was being older than that, wouldn't I? Probably 15. But and that's funny. That's a cliche, what everyone says. I don't watch EastEnders. But I didn't watch it. So yeah. I suppose people who do watch it and enjoy it, it's kind of their thing, isn't it? So if you're in their thing, then you're in their thing.
Yeah,
you're
part of
their thing, if that makes sense.
Well, but, I get so, it. And they buy into it as well, okay. Don't they? They buy into it because they're in because they watch you every day. Your brain doesn't know that you're watching characters. Your brain's like, oh yeah, these are your mates or these are your family, and I can see where the lines get blurred.
Yeah, I can see as well because I see people, you know, who have been in my life forever. You know, hugely well-known faces, and if you see them in real life, you go, you don't know them, of course, not comics, but you know, maybe it's I can't think of the top of my head. Say it was David Attenborough, but you'd feel like you knew David Attenborough, wouldn't you? You'd be like, I know you know me, right, David?
Dave,
we're mates, Dave. Come on, remember, I've watched you loads of times.
We were in the Galapagos the other day. You know, me.
I was riding the tortoise. And you were going, get off. Cue the David Attenborough impression. And so we move on.
But it must be difficult. Like you've already said, when you have these extreme highs and then these extreme lows, with what, like you've talked about, you've talked openly about being like your bipolar and your other dealings with your mental health. How have you managed to keep sane? With all those,
I think
extremes.
It is. I think you get like, you know, I won't lie. I do take supplements. but I've read loads as well, and age as well. I've got this guy, Stephen Renwick. I don't know if you would say Renwick. How would you say that name?
It's Renick.
Renick, isn't it? Yeah. Stephen Renick. Let's try that again.
I mean, okay. He's a silent W, yeah. My mate.
So Stephen Renick got hold of me on LinkedIn, right? And he's kept bugging me about reading his book, You'll Like It. And it's nine Ways to Sleepwalk Into Something. I mean, that's how good the book is. I can't even bloody remember the name of it. But it is brilliant, right? I'll give you it before we go.
Lovely.
But it is a fantastic book. And that's one of the many books that I have read, you know, and I think what you need to do is you just have to when you read something like that, it just jiggles you, pokes you and goes, look, it's nonsense again, isn't it? You have to just keep reminding you that it's nonsense all the time, you know? And I think the good thing is, for me, being in an artistic world, and I say this to a lot of people who feel got the black dog and the blues and all that, is do something, even if it's gardening, or just get a canvas and some paints, and even if you're not very good, it doesn't matter. But just take you away and get that sort of achievement and those, you know, that the endorphins of flowing, and you know, get that point of going, oh, actually, you know what, I'm doing something opposed from just getting up in the morning and going, oh, here we go again, you know. And I think that's what I did to a degree. I don't bang on about it anymore because it's a bit of a funny one, this, but I'm glad that mental health now is out there and become quite vogue, really. But I'm also seeing, to me, it's a little bit of a card now as well, you know.
So it's
kind of like I don't really talk about it anymore because it's like, oh yeah, I got mental health problems, you know, and I'm on podcasts. So
true.
I've been banging on about it for years and years and years and years and years, you know. But it's good that it's out there, and I'm pleased that people are quite open to talking about what they have. But for me personally, I just managed to address it and then know when it's coming, as it were. And also, like a scratch record here, I am older now. I'm very happy where I live. I live in a lovely house. I'm lucky. I've got a beautiful 18-year-old Mercedes, which I love. Right,
lovely.
It was a lockdown project. My mate gave me this car. I said, look, do you want this? He said to run around, and I went, yeah, all right. And then I started cleaning it, didn't I? So it went from this old old decrepit heap to this beautiful CLK convertible. Ooh. And when I got the roof down, I don't know if you can say this on your podcast, but I look a right wanker and I love it. I love it. Got me bucket hat on. I look like a complete knob. And
love that shit.
But out of all the cars I've owned in my life, I'm just like, I love this car so much. So what I'm saying is, materialistic things, you start realising actually, you don't need to be buying that brand new car to pay out 700, 400, 250 quid a month for or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm getting at? I'm trying to get to a point, but that's kind of, that car was another learning curve to me to actually go, look at this old banger. Well, I love it. You know what I mean? I love that car so much. Like, if she was here now, D, she'd be going to me, oh, God, you're not about that car again. But that's a small little things, you know, that you need to get yourself to points, don't you? And I've
absolutely
done that. I love my house. I love where I live. You know, I'm lucky with my family. The folks are still here. You know what I mean? It's all, you know, what have I got to... what have I got to be down about? Nothing. So it takes a lot of learning to do that, to readdress your mind, and it's going back to that whole thing you were saying about that rise and then it all being taken away from you. And and I think it's a loads of little things, isn't it? I think that's what causes a lot of mental health. There's loads of tiny little things that just keep bombing you, and before you know it, they start getting in. So you have to start pushing them back out again.
But you know what? It's true. And little things. Like, I had it up until yesterday, I was, all right, just fucking phone him. It was a couple of phone calls I hadn't made, a couple of things I've been, like, burying my head in the sand about. Mm. And I'm like, just to the point, like, I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to walk into the sea. I'm just tired. Because then what happens is I build it up in my head that everyone hates me. I get that. And I'm like, everyone thinks you're a prick. Why do they bother with you? What's wrong with you? And it starts getting in, and then you suddenly realise, oh, fuck, I've been lying on my bed for 2 hours now. I should have been up doing something. And then it just happened. I just went, yesterday, I just went out loud, I went, for fuck's sake. And I just rang him, and I went, hello, mate, listen, blah, 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 blah. And he went, yeah, that's all right. Yeah, don't worry, I'll sort it out. I went, oh, right, yeah. So that's like 2 months. I should have phoned him.
And it took me
5 minutes. And because he's a mate, he went, Yeah, it's fine. Why don't you just phone me, you prick?
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the big things of mental health as well. Is those things of when if you text someone and don't come straight back to you, and then you're sitting there going, why don't they come back to me? And you're like, you know, how many times eventually do you get to someone and go, oh mate, I didn't see it, or they say to you, you know, oh, mate, I've been away for 2 weeks. Or I don't know. You know, it's always you. It's your own insecurity building up. One on one is 20,000.
Yeah.
Point two.
But I see it with other people as well when they message me and they're like, oh, Rich, I'm really sorry. Sorry I'm a burden, mate, but can you help me with this? And I'm like, yeah, of course, mate. You're not a burden. So everyone's kind of, a lot of people are feeling that they're a burden on each other. And going back to what you said about everybody, I think it's more, it seems more amplified in our industry. People are trying to latch onto a thing that will then give them like a USP. They're kind of, the other day I was at a gig and everyone was bisexual, everyone was had ADHD, everyone had this, whatever. And you're like, you all these things and that's, you know, fine, but just be a comedian. Just be funny.
Yeah, just be a comedian. It's like, you know, we could go on about loads of things like that, but I'm not going to because I'll get myself into trouble.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm not being in trouble. But you know exactly what I'm about. You work certain acts and you walk on and they do their bit and then you're kind of going, oh, here comes that bit now. And there comes, oh, yeah, all right, there's that bit. And I know what you mean. For me, I watch people and I want when people go, oh, this and that, and like you say, just be funny, man. And the other thing is, I really don't care. As an audience member, I'm sitting watching a comedian. Unless you're packaging it correctly.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be sitting there going, I don't give a monkeys, mate. Go and see a shrink.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not interested about you. I haven't paid money to watch you tell me about you for 20 minutes. It's boring.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're packaging it in a way and you've got that kind of... I think all great comics that do stand up, you know, you package your way into you become the character. So I'd be going, oh, I can imagine Rich Wilson getting in. I can imagine him getting into that scrape. You've got to package it. You can't just go, oh, yeah, so I've got this and that. I really don't give a monkey's.
No.
I don't care.
People say to me, I get people ask me a lot for advice, like they probably do with you. Well, I did. I remember talking to you. I remember when I first started doing comedy. So I knew you before from being a barman. But I remember you turned around and you went, you're gigging. And I went, yeah. You went, oh, bloody hell. And you went, any material of mine that you want to use when you're starting out, it goes, help yourself. Just whatever helps. And I'll never forget that. It was a beautiful thing. I mean, I don't fucking know what I would have done, but it was a beautiful thing.
But that time, yeah. I was a different comedian then.
Yeah.
Where were you? That's right, you worked up the creek in
Greenwich and Maidstone, yeah. But what I mean, but people ask me all the time, they go, like, any advice? And I always say to them, change I and me to us and we.
Yeah.
Because you're, like you've just said, no one wants to listen to you going, I've got this and I'm that and this is this. Just, they want to have stuff that they can relate to.
Yeah. Do you find that when you do this, you know, do you find, have you noticed? But, yeah, but for me as well, I got to a point where for whatever reason, I'd had enough of that as well. So that's obviously why I go off on this whole talking to myself. The other thing on that as well, and going back to the mental health and what I do on stage, when I obviously went and saw people, they obviously, the therapists and stuff, would go off, and one particular guy went off and obviously YouTubed and stuff. And then he said to me, that thing you're doing on stage, you know, where you're talking to your two voices and then you're coming around like nothing's happened. And I went, yeah. He said, what that is, he says, that's a drama triangle you've created, right? And the drama triangle is when you have the protagonist and the child, and then you have the adult trying to save, and it goes around in this constant drama triangle. So at the depths of my depression, if you like, I'd created inadvertently a drama triangle on stage. So all that, you know, what are we doing? Yes, all that stuff, and then coming back, causing the problems for the me at the front, and then them two running off and going, you know, we'll be back here when you need us. Yeah. But what's really funny is that although I do those voices, sometimes in my head, the real me is going, oh, no. You know what I mean? But I can't relay that to the audience sometimes because they'll be thinking, oh, right, he hates us. Because, you know, the audience get the show they deserve, you know, and that's true.
Do you know what? Mentioning audiences, this is something as well. Because sometimes our perception of how well we're doing on stage is so skewed sometimes, depending on where we're at sort of mentally. Or where we're at in that particular moment, like sometimes our moods are a little bit off, and even though we're performing and we're doing the thing, and then you'll come up and you'll go, oh, fuck, oh, I didn't enjoy that, and they go, mate, you just smashed that, and you go,
I think I was quite famous for that.
Well, this is, I remember one in particular. It was at the store, it was a comedy store, yeah. And you were fucking roofing it. Honestly, roofing it. The place was going bananas. And then you did this bit where you took the sign down off the back of the stage.
Oh, yeah.
And then you ran through one of the doors, and then you came out through the green room. And then just before you went running back on stage, you looked at us and you just went, fuck me, they're fucking shit. And then you went out and we heard it. Honestly, the door had trouble shutting behind you because of the wave of laughter and energy that was coming. And we all looked at it. I can't remember who I was on with. Maybe Paul Thorne or someone. I can't remember who was there, but we all kind of looked at each other and went, what? What is he hearing? The place was vibrating. Yet, for some reason, in your head, what was going into your ears, yeah. You were like, it's not.
Well, it's a shame because that's another thing of that whole, going back to what we were saying about other people and that drive. You know, it. I think at that time, you know, it took me, I didn't even realise it wasn't about me. It was about, you know, being a conduit, as Otis Cannelloni once said to me, it's about being a conduit and bringing that fun and laughter to an audience. And I think for a long time, for many, many years, you know, I thought it was about how well I would go to determine, you know, my place in the comedy world. Oh, you know, you rock gigs, you know, you get standing ovations one after another and all that. But actually, it's not about that. And you realise that as you get on and move on, and you know, it's more about bringing some substance as well to it. But so now I might come off and go, oh, you know, if I didn't, and the audience, if I did, very rarely happens, but I believe that they weren't very good. It's probably because of also the style of what I do now is a lot of people sitting there going, I haven't got a clue what's going on here, you know, and that's fine. So I have to take that into account a bit. That's the difference about if I do a tour show or a show where a lot of people have come to see me, the difference in that to me going out to an audience who haven't got a clue who I am is poles apart. You know, there's no you. People are perplexed when they don't know who I am. You just get people sitting there going, they're looking. I remember one woman once shouted out to me. She went, "Excuse me." She went, "Excuse me." I went, "Yes." Yeah. She went, "Is this comedy or horror?" You know, so I can understand it if you don't. If you've never seen it, because I think when people are they're looking for the jokes and the gags, you know, and the point is with it all, there isn't anything, you know, that is the joke.
Yeah.
You're looking for something that's not there, you know. It's just get on the ride and come on this silliness. It's just stupid.
Yeah.
You know? And I like it, you know, singing songs about nothing. I've got a song. I don't think you've ever seen me do it, but I've got a song I sing, which is a song about nothing. This is a song about nothing.
Nothing.
You know, it's just about, for me, just taking it where as far as I can and as away with the fairies as I can, you know.
Yeah, well, you've got, what it seems to me is that you've got the tried and tested or the well-worn ways of comedy. Everyone uses
their own one,
but you're sort of like, it's like you're on the offbeat with yours, and it's like you're almost like behind it going, look at what they're doing there, and then look, he's doing that now, and look at that, yeah. and that's how he got that laugh, because he's done that. It's like yeah, you're pointing it all out.
I will do the punchline before the setup.
Yeah.
No. But like you were saying there, that is the important key thing, and you know, you can only play the instrument one way. You know, you can only play, there's timing, there's comedy timing, right? You're never going to change comedy time. It's the same as when someone drops a note in a song. You always know when that note is going to be dropped,
yeah.
Right? Because that's comedy timing, right? And you can go around twice if you want, okay? So you can't break comedy timing. So you still have to abide by the rule of rhythm and timing.
Yeah.
But you put an absurdity in it. So,
right.
You know, that's why sometimes if you ever watch a comedian and they do something and then they say, even if they just F at the end of it, you know, and they get a laugh and you're like, that's a lazy punchline. But if they've got the timing right, you generally can, you know, that's like when I used to do a routine about American stand-up comics. What is it about American stand-up comedians where they hold the microphone right out here, where they're doing the build-up to a routine or a gag, and then when they do the punchline, they put the microphone close to their mouth, so you know they've done it, right? But it's all in the timing, you know.
Yeah, man.
They've done it, you know, so it's... I'm not telling you that, you know that.
No,
I'm just telling,
I know what you mean.
Hopefully people listening,
they
that's
are
how
listening.
It works. And, That's the point of it. So
yeah.
then you can start playing your tunes, can't you? You learn to play the piano. You know that that's a major key, and that's a minor key, and that's a C, and that's a G, and then that's a chord. Right, they're always going to be there on the piano or the guitar, but it's what you then make with it, isn't
yeah.
it? It's the music you make with it.
That's like Les Dawson. Les Dawson.
There you go. Played it
perfect.
Badly.
Because he knew how to play it well.
Well, that's what they say, but I've got a theory that he didn't know how to play it. And he just got away with everyone going, they think I'm brilliant at it.
He just blagged it.
I can't play it. But everyone believes I can.
Everyone's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And everyone's like, oh, wow, it's amazing. Down the ages. But also, I remember one of the best bits of advice, and I still use this to this day,
mm-hmm.
was you said to me, you've got stepping stones. Say you're doing an hour show. You've got stepping stones, and you can go wherever you like in between the stepping stones, which is what you've just been saying.
Yeah.
As long as you get to the next stepping stone.
Yeah, little islands, yeah.
Yeah.
Chugging around them.
Yeah, and you can go
around
like,
them
anyway.
And the six shooter as well is my other thing. What I mean by that is I've got a little imaginary gag gun, right? So I know that if things are starting to fall, right, you have to bring an audience back. So I've got a little gun that I can pull out and go, bang, here's a joke. And they go, oh, that's good. The other thing as well, if for new comedians listening, I think as well, if you show a skill, you know, you can get away with a lot more. I'd say a prime example of this. I remember seeing Emmanuel, right?
Yeah.
What's Emmanuel's last name again?
Sanubi.
Sanubi, yes. Sorry, Emmanuel. Salubi. And he comes on, if you don't know Emmanuel, he's a big, big fellow, big bald head. He's lovely. Oh, he's gorgeous. He's massive. And what was... We were in... where were we? We were in Hoffenheim. No, we weren't. No, we weren't. That's a lie. We were in Austria. doing the snowball bombing or altitude comedy festival. Yeah. And there was a piano on the stage, right? And I didn't know this. And if you can envisage him, if you like I just said, he's got a tight bum and a great big, he's like a heart. He's massive, about 6 foot five, and he's like a big, beautiful rugby player looking massive fella. And then he sat down at this piano, and he can play, man.
What?
You get him play piano. You get him to play a piano. Oh, it's unbelievable. But what was interesting was, he was mucking around with the audience, and of course he was going well. Of course he was doing all right. He wasn't doing badly. He was doing great. But once he sat at the piano and played that piano beautifully, and then stood up looking the way he does, like this big hulk of a man, and then his comedy went foosh.
Wow.
Everything he said after that, everything he said was just caught alight. He could have gone, and they would have just gone, yes! Because he showed that skill at the piano that no one expected, not even me. I was gobsmacked. I was like, oh my God, what? I mean, why wouldn't he be able to play a piano like that?
Yeah, because he's a great big dude.
Because he looks like this great big rugby playing fella. Yeah. You don't think that he's going to be able to sit down and tickle the keys like he did. It was incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it. We do make assumptions, don't we? Based on like people, like we talked about earlier, like people, you and I, people, they hear us talking, they assume certain things. They go, oh, well, you must be into that. He's always a bit of a lad, so he must be this, this, and this. And you go, well, no, you don't know what I'm into. You don't know what I do.
No,
there's more to me than that. And it's the same with Emmanuel.
But it's also that thing. Going on to something completely different there. You know, a lot of these reality people and all that, they moan on about being trolled and stuff. And, of course, you did get trolled, but it don't bother me. But I remember my mate, who was a mate of mine, I don't speak to him anymore, but he said something to me once, and just it's kind of on what you were just saying, and I thought that it was brilliant. It was brilliant. And I won't use the word that he used because it's the biggest swear word.
No, right? That's all right. Okay. We've used that a few times.
Okay, but like, all right, it's a C-bomb word, right? Yeah. But he said, I was going, look at this geezer having a go at me, blah, blah, blah. And he went, son, he don't know you, boy. He don't know you. He doesn't know you. He doesn't know you.
Yeah.
So why are you worrying what he thinks? He doesn't know you. And I went, yeah, but he goes, look, he said to me, what you got to worry about, he said, but people that don't know you calling you a see you next Tuesday is not the problem. He said, it's when the people that love you start calling you a see you next Tuesday. That's when you got to worry.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's exactly what it is, isn't it? And it goes back to that, they don't know you. People don't know you. And just saying there, what we were saying, I know I've kind of gone a thing.
No, it makes sense, yeah.
But that's the point. And I think when you do comedy and you perform, you're only going up there and doing what you do to have a laugh and make people laugh. The problem, of course, is this, then someone takes it a bit further and goes, well, that's what you are, and I'm coming after you. And you're going, that's an act, man. Just calm down, brother.
My shoes don't really talk to each other.
No, they don't really talk, and it's all fine. And I am a little bit crazy, but that's, you know, and sometimes you get that off stage when someone's only having a bit of a laugh with you, but you're kind of going, all right, you know, I've changed my glasses now, if you like. You know what I mean? You know, I've taken my stage glasses off now. This is me now. So, you know, those jokes that you're having with me now is a bit personal. It's not that was there. This is now, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I know what you mean. Speaking of that, with this podcast and with this, it seems like you're now creating your own universe. So you, almost like not a safety thing, like almost like, maybe protection. You've gone like, oh, I'm going to just create my own world, which you are more than welcome to come into.
Yeah.
But fuck this, because this makes less sense than shit that goes on in my universe. And you think I'm the crazy one. Outside is insane.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, am I actually the same one walking amongst the crazy people, I think they say? Maybe I'm not mad. Maybe it's everybody else. It's like when it's that thing, isn't it? When someone says, well, have a nice day, won't you? And you go, well, it won't be me causing the problems.
No.
Probably I am causing the problems. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
But that like you're saying about doing podcasts and stuff, and that's it's the nice thing to create that, get into that world with, like, Bear With Me, getting into that world and creating these crazy worlds that are actually quite simple stories. Mm. But then they spin off into this sort of surrealism and stuff. But what's really nice about them, I can say a lot in those, because, you know, you can get away with a lot more when you're in character. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And using all the kind of people inside me, like you said, the loads of Terrys, you know, to bring them all out and then put them down into an audio world. And that's also good fun as well, because it's a challenge, because I'm quite a physical sort of comedian. To then do, I found this doing when I was doing the Radio 4 stuff, to be funny on audio and be visual on audio is quite a thing. And I quite enjoy making my audio visual, if that makes any sense at all. If you listen to my stuff, you'll go, oh, right, I can really see it, you know, and it's only just mucking around. Now I'm just finishing episode 4. It was actually the last episode, the Heist 3, is where now I've really got used to how to use Logic, which I'm recording. So now everything's moving around in your head now. And this fourth one, when I come to now edit this one, when I do the master, it's going to be great, because I'm going to sort of Dolby Atmos it. So it'll be all around your head, and they'll be talking and moving, and it's bringing it all to life. But it's very labour intensive, you know, and because all the sounds and all the music and all the voices in it and all the writing of it, it's all entirely me, apart from the Wally kid, the kid next door who lives next door to the Bear and Ed, and that's played by my son. No. Although I could do it myself, though. You know what I mean? But everything, and what that sounds like, oh, God, you're fully yourself, Mr. Boastful. But it's brilliant just to be able to go, I'm in control of this.
Yeah.
I'm the producer, I'm the writer, the director, everything on it, and no one can tell me what I can and can't do, because I just stick it on Podbean and Apple Podcasts, and, well, it puts it out there for me. So I've got my own world. You can go and find it if you want. Same with you, you know, with our insanity here. You know, and we're in control of it, and it's beautiful, you know, because a few people said, put it on BBC Sounds, and no disrespect to BBC Sounds or any of that, but I don't want that to be a case at the moment where I'm being told what to do. I want to draw my own picture.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm enjoying doing it. I've really only really started doing it for my mum and dad to listen to, really, but... But I stuck them out there. You know? But they're doing all right. They're doing all right. I mean, they're not number one podcast, but they're certainly being listened to.
Yeah, man, and that's what you want.
Yeah, well, just to cut in here, I thought you killed your father in episode 2 as well.
Ah, well, is he dead, though? Because the other thing, because if you listen in Heist, of course, then when Mank and Danny are talking, which is Danny from Off the Curb, by the way.
Is it?
I'll put Danny up. No, I'm doing Danny.
Oh, you're
from
doing
Off the Curb,
Danny, right, got ya.
Yeah, because I just nick loads of people. I might put Martin Doyle Rich Wilson in there.
Hey!
Right? But he says, he goes, they were a weird bunch. One looked like a librarian, and the other one was an old man dressed in as an old lady. So I haven't quite decided yet whether his mum is actually a fella. I don't know.
Oh, do you know what? This is a bit of a personal story, but I'll tell you right now. So my granddad was, he used to wear women's clothing when he was, my dad went round there one day, and they looked for the car was on the drive, but there was no answer at the door. So they looked through the letterbox, and they thought it was my dad's grandma. Anyway, dad went round the back to go and say, oh, where's mum and dad? And he was greeted by his own dad dressed in his garms. And he just went, this is what I do when I'm on my own. This is me, which freaked me dad out a little bit at the time. And then he kind of came to terms with it later on. But they still talk about, they used to make a joke saying that they thought what had happened was my nan had actually died and not my granddad, and he'd just taken her place.
Right, there you go.
And it was like, okay.
There you see?
Yeah, so.
But isn't it amazing how the, and I can understand your dad being freaked, but it's funny how someone just wearing a different set of clothes.
Yeah.
Can bring a completely different perspective on someone being, isn't it?
It's like, clothing.
Oh, he's got a woman's dress on, so no, he's not quite what we thought he was. But
yeah, but it's just society telling you that those are women's
clothes.
Funny,
isn't it?
Those are men's clothes. Well, it's all made from the same. It's all cut from the same cloth.
And that's the point. But yeah, father. Paul Daniels. I love that. I was going to come back with something when you emailed me, and I'm not going to.
It's
boring.
Is he not dead? I thought he was dead.
Yeah, I was going to say I thought you were dead, but then I thought everyone's done that. But Yes, I think they did shoot him, and I've got a feeling that his dad might. We might go a little bit deeper with that at some point, but at the moment, I'm still trying to find, you know, more about the character myself. At the moment, you know, it's quite nice because when I write a story, the stories, what I do is I just have like these little headers, and then as I'm writing it, it just writes, man, it just writes itself, and it's that old thing of, you know, if you've got strong characters, they just put it just. Pours out of you, because what you have to remember is, I've done this when I've read the scripts back and gone, is that funny? This one I'm doing at the moment was really hard, right? Because it's like a Russian doll of a story. It's crazy, right? And I had to get a mate of mine to read it to see if I was actually certified, right? But as I'm recording it, I'm actually giggling away, and then you start adding little bits as well, of course. But and you have to trust in that it's the characters. When you're writing it, you know, the bear is funny, man. He's funny, and the more angry he gets, and when he swears, I know swearing is so immature, but when the bear starts swearing, you know, I'm getting annoyed. Will you just shut your face? Now, listen here, bear. No, I don't care, mate, all right? I've had enough of it. Oh, yes, you've had enough of it, have you? Very nice. Yeah, nice way to talk to you, friend. Look, why don't you just fuck off? You know.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
I'll go to the bottom of my stairs. You know, and then she's on it as well. That's the mother, you know. Anyway, but
what's nice?
She lives in the cupboard. She does. She's their Alexa. So they go, "Here, Irene," and he goes,
"Hello, Irene."
Oh
speaking.
My God, my mum's called Irene.
No,
yeah.
Well, it's all based. Everyone's based on something though. She's based on Irene Handel. I'm looking at their images now. I made all their, artwork.
Oh, mate.
Ed, the original routine in my act was me saying, do you think when dancing bears get rescued, do you think they want to carry on dancing? And it was just said to me by Chris Gilbert once. He just said it to me, and I said, you've got to let me have that.
Yeah.
And he went, yeah, of course. And then, of course, I did this routine of the it was like Eddie Izzard and Tommy Cooper. That's what it was. It was like him going, you're free, bear, you must go to the woods, you're free. And he goes, I like dancing, and I love dancing. That's why I've always done it. I love dancing. No, but bear, you're free, you must go. Anyway, it was crazy routine. And that's how it found its way on my radio show. But he actually is kind of loosely based on Eddie Izzard, Ed, the main man, not the dad. But his image, which I'm looking at the moment, is based on Leonard Rossiter.
Oh, so mate.
What I've done is everything in the show is actually all loads of callbacks. And there's loads of Hancock in there. I use loads of, you know, things Hancock said. There's loads of little Easter eggs in it. You know, if you're good with old time radio and stuff, you'll be going, oh, right. You know, when Mrs. Coombs comes in, she's Patricia Coombs. It's Pat Coombs. You know,
right.
They're all in there. You know, and I even just in this one, I'm doing a newly deceased. I'm doing a Alan Rickman's in this one at the moment. Give me my detonators, John McLean.
It's funny you mentioned Irene Handel and Hancock. The best bit in The Rebel.
Best.
When she comes
in. Yeah, I know what you're
going to
say.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to say.
Yeah, of course I do.
What's that? That
is a self-portrait.
Involved.
Laura and Hardy. Beautiful, isn't it?
Oh,
it's
mate.
Just beautiful. It's a and what a film that is, by the way.
It's
you know, people going
film.
About films. I'm not really a big. I don't really watch films anymore. I just get bored. But that is beautiful. That film, and also spot the upcoming star cameo in that. But you didn't realise that, did you?
No. Oh, I'll have to watch it.
When he gets abroad, when he gets to France and he's in one of those little holes and they're all talking, they're all being artists, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
This one little boy pops up, he says about three words. He says something like, but how do you know this? Something like that, right? And he's beautiful looking, and it's Oliver Reed.
No.
Yeah, you watch it now, you'll go, oh, it's Oliver Reed.
Oh, fucking God.
Yeah, it's Oliver Reed.
Right.
Yeah, unknown, young, beautiful. He looks a bit like Robbie Williams, funny enough.
Yeah, he was a good-looking man, wasn't he?
Lovely-looking man.
I was. You
Oliver Reed. Money.
You know, Omid was with him the night he died. Omid was left that pub in Malta.
Really?
Yeah, he'd come. These sailors had come in. He was. They took him off the wagon, didn't he? And then he didn't come.
Yeah, that's
he didn't come back off. But Omid was with him as he left him. And he went in the pub. That's the last anyone saw of him.
Fucking hell.
When they were doing a...
Gladiator, wasn't it?
Gladiator.
Yeah, yes, mate. Yes. I tell you, going back a bit, you mentioned your lovely wife, Dee.
Dee.
And I've met her. Brilliant. I love her. She's a beautiful woman. Fantastic human being. what's lovely is that she obviously accepts.
Or
tolerates.
Flip it round.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So you support each other.
Yeah. I thought I was a crazy one for many years, but no.
Oh.
No, it turns out that actually maybe not. No, she's a good Yeah, she and I compliment, even though we are constantly, I say at each other's throats is probably a really bad terminology because we're not aggressive to each other, but neither of us will be told by the other. You know what I mean? Like, strong. I will be like going, no, well, I'm not doing it. And she'll be like, well, don't tell me what to do. So we're in a... And then poor old Bo sitting there going, oh, here we go again. But Dee's dad was a very aggressive bank robber. And
really? Fuck, all right.
Yeah. And she's now inheriting more and more of old Del Boy's traits. He sadly left us. But, yeah, I mean, in his own words, you've never met anyone like him in your life, her dad. He was something else. He was something else, Derek. Oh, my God, yeah. And he was, he blew safes.
Yeah,
so that,
right.
In fact, in the heist on the podcast, bear with me, there's a bit in that when they try and get in the vault and they found another vault. And that actually is Derek's story, told me when they were on a job once.
No.
So it's actually loosely based on one of Derek's stories. Yeah, they were in there for 6 hours drilling this vault out. And he went to me, what do you think was in the vault? And I went, I don't know, money. He goes, money. He gets really aggressive. Wait, money, mum. You hear this, mum? What's he talking about? Money. Well, what was in a vault? I went, I don't know. Jewellery. Fucking jewellery. Another vault. So they had to go back in. And that's kind of loosely based on episode 3 on Bear With Me. The heist is based on that story.
Mate. See, that's what... It's amazing.
Right, what you know, yeah. Baby.
Well, this is it. Like, we've been really lucky to have lived extraordinary lives, really.
Yeah.
Like, I've met some incredible people through doing comedy. I've got friends all over the place now through doing comedy.
Yeah.
You know, and or just saying yes to things. Go, yeah, I'll do that. All right.
I think, as well, I mean, if I hadn't did comedy, right, I'd still be there. No, I was, I lived out in this little place called South Woodham, Ferrers, which is sort of the other side of Chelmsford. Now, yeah. I live on the other side of Chelmsford, funny enough. But, yeah, I think if I just stayed in that world, I would never have grown. That's more the point. You know, I've actually grown as a person. I'd still be saying probably things that you would be... But I'd be the bloke going, well, you can't say that no more, can you? You can't say that no more.
Yeah,
you know, I'd be
same.
One of those blokes. So I kind of grew. And like you say, you know, what a blessing. What a blessing. My life's been being a comedian. And the places and the... I've been everywhere in the world. I mean, I've seen things I literally have. I can't even talk about because I've signed secrets things and stuff. But I've seen things that you go, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to say more on that, but I really can't.
No,
but,
so I know, having seen certain things myself, you go, you can't unsee them. And,
no. And so it's been a great rolling ride, and you know, long may it continue. But yes, I totally agree with you. We're just so lucky to do. I mean, you know, I just playing all the time. My mate was saying we went out last week. Four of us, and it was like we got the band back together.
Nice.
And my mate Martin owns Balgors Estate Agents, which is a big estate agents, right? And he worked very, very hard to get to that place, you know. And his whole thing was like, you know, going on about how he got there and how many hours he would work and this and that. And blah, blah, blah. And I said, this is all too grown up for me, mate. You know, this is, I admire where you've got to in your life, but it's all too grown up. You know, I people in business who've done very well, I admire them for that. But I want to just stay a kid. We go and play, don't we? I mean, we're playing now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Look, we're just playing now and talking about ourselves. It'll be fantastic. You can't beat that. If we had a plate of sausages as well, it'd be brilliant.
Sausages change everything.
Sausages!
I love sausages.
I remember seeing Janie Godley doing a routine about her husband. The way to keep him happy is put a film of a documentary of sharks on the telly and give him sausage sandwiches. Sausage sandwich and shark documentaries. Very good. Well done, Janie.
That's something else as well. Like, you know, yeah, do the things that make you happy. If you know, if it's watching films, or like you said, or it's gardening or painting or...
Absolutely, you are. We're very lucky that we really do get to drive our own bus. That's the thing, you know. I think a lot of people, you say, well, you know, you're the driver of your bus. But then again, not if you've got to get up and drive a bus.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, literally. Yeah. And pay the bills. And there's nothing wrong with that, because I'd love to be a bus driver, actually. But that gets in the way, doesn't it? And we are lucky that, you know, we work to live. You know what I mean? That's we're not living to work.
No.
Yeah, that's that makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like you say, if you're, it's all very well, like you've got to get up, you've got to do the job, you've got to pay the bills, then you've got to come back, you've got your family to attend to, and so you can't...
All the other stuff, and you can understand... Difficult. You can see why people then get down and depressed, because they're not going to be in a band anymore. You know, they're slowly edging away, isn't it? It's like the Pink Floyd, isn't it? You know, someone's fired the starting gun, you know, 10 years have got behind you, you know?
Yeah.
Before you know it and I think that's when people, if they can, just step aside and... Even, you know, even if it's on a Sunday, you find a little patch of your garden, and if you haven't got a garden, then just go and get a flower pot. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but start creating a garden. It's anything like that, just to start creating and watching something, because you can go to work that day, come home and go, oh, look, it's sprouting now. You know, it's just something to take you away from that thing and create. Creation, I think, is truly brilliant.
Absolutely.
For anyone who's feeling shit in their mind. It really is.
Yeah, or you do the other part. I've got mates of mine that go shooting, and and I'm like, who are you shooting? They go, nothing. We go and shoot fridges. Like, they'll take, like, old furniture and all that into this field and just shoot the furniture.
Yeah.
They're not even shooting animals, things like that. They're just, like, just taking their frustration out and just smashing things up.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's where we're at, though, isn't it? I remember when my son, when he was a lot younger, he went, can I smash this glass? Can I smash it? I went, well, it's easier to smash the glass, isn't it? And he went, yeah, but can I smash it? Well, how about if I said make a glass like this? Just a simple glass.
Glass.
I said, how hard would that be to do? And he went, well, I don't want to do that. I just want to smash it. Well, yeah, because it's easy to smash, isn't it? You know, but to make a glass, just a glass. We're not even talking about making some 3D printer. We're not talking about making a computer. We're talking about making just something out of sand.
Yeah.
Right, and then moulding it. Right. Oh. Easy to smash it, isn't it?
Right. I love that.
Yeah. I have a T-shirt. Yeah. Easy to smash, isn't it? But it is. It's easy to smash it. And that's why it's horrible when people, you know, someone, it's just going back to that again, you know, if someone quite flippantly goes, oh, that's crap. And you go, God, man, you know the work that's gone into someone doing whatever they've done. You're just going, oh, yeah, it was shit.
I know. I always say that about music.
That easy, was it?
Yeah. I always say that about music. I'm like, they go, all right, shit. And I'm like, I've had this argument with Marcus Berman loads. And I'm like, it's not shit. It's just that you don't like it. I don't particularly like it, but it's not shit. Someone somewhere is getting joy out of this. The person that made it got joy putting it together, like you've just said.
True.
And then you can't just go, that's shit, because you don't like it.
Yeah, but my son does listen to a load of shit. Oh, man. No, I totally agree. It's like, for example, a case in point of that for me is Prince, right? I don't do Prince. Doesn't do anything for me, but I know the geezer's a genius.
Yeah, but he's only got,
you know what I mean? I know he's amazing.
I know
he's incredible. I know when I watch him and I go, oh, wow, what a performer. But his music comes on the radio. I'm not going to be turning it up. But that's... I'm not going to sit and go, oh, this is shit.
No, it's just not for you. And
it's easy to break it, isn't it, mate? Hard to make it.
That is a fucking brilliant way to finish, Terry. You smashed that, literally, ironically. Smashed that, mate. Where can we find you, Terry? Are you on the social still? Because I know you sort of come and go.
Yeah, I'm at Terry Alderton's on all of it. I'm on those. I don't really do them, but I just say about my tickets and my podcast and you know, I'm doing the odd gig here and there. I'm doing a little tour. So that's all on the website.
Lovely.
TerryAlderton.com.
And the podcast is called Bear With Me, and it's on Amazon Music.
It's on Amazon Music. It's on Apple Music. It's on Spotify. It's on all of them. Podbean.
Lovely. Lovely. Yeah.
Bear With Me.
I'm so glad we got to do this. We've been talking about this for ages.
I know. Finally.
Here we are.
He said, come and, he emailed me, old Paul Daniels. Right, let's start a lot. And I went, yeah, of course I'd do it. I've been waiting to do it.
Mate. Lovely. Love you, Terry.
I love you, Rich Wilson.
I love you. All right, mate.
And, Superstardom.
Thanks, mate.
Adios, and I'll see you all later. Bye.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.